You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello, beautiful Wisdom Tribe, Sacred Souls. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here with us today. Wherever you're calling from, wherever your spot is on this beautiful, beautiful planet of ours, or maybe you're calling from further afield, I don't know, but welcome, welcome. I'm Ian Shelley. Thank you so much for being in the collective energy of the community, in the collective consciousness. Thank you for creating this space. It literally is every single one of you that has created this space for us to be in. The theme for this particular series and season of Wisdom of the Ancients is the illuminated soul, resonance with the truth that is within, resonance with the truth that is already within. But sometimes there's a veil. Sometimes there is an illusion or a layer that covers up our ability to see our beautiful, beautiful soul, the fact that we truly all are an aspect of the divine. And so this show is about helping you uncover and move that which is maybe obscuring your beautiful, beautiful shining light. So as we start the show tonight, we invoke the ancient ones, we call in the ancient ones, we call in all the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service to be with us and support us and open our hearts today. So let me introduce our next guest to you. I think you'll be very excited to hear who we have. Christo Bowers is considered by many to be one of the most advanced teachers and clairvoyants of our time. His work has been compared to the work of Edgar Cayce, Carolyn Meis, and Barbara Brennan. He travels and shares his advanced discoveries pertaining to the human energy field through lectures, workshops, and his two books, The Menorah, Symbol of the Human Energy Field, and The Evolution of the Human Energy Field and Humanity's Ultimate Destiny. He also has a private practice in esoteric psychology, where he uses his intuitive abilities to help his clients identify and overcome unconscious, limiting beliefs and early social conditioning that results in radical, permanent transformation. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Christo to the show. Welcome, Christo.
Thank you, Ian, for having me.
Yeah, and by the way, you sound great.
Great. I took apart my phone and use a different cable.
We're wondering. We thought that was your army, your little army of helpers behind you there. But no, everything sounds perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know, is it okay to mention this, that you and I were talking about Sarasota?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I just got back from Sarasota myself, and I was telling one of my friends who I traveled with, I said, the beach at Siesta Key is like the most incredible beach in the world. And I said, but what you'll find is that the sand, you'll find it in your luggage and your shoes for like weeks on end. Mm-hmm. So this is a week and a half back. I take apart my phone, the case off from it, and it's filled with sand from Siesta Key.
Yeah, that's an amazing, amazing place. Yeah, we could speak about that. I've heard that the sand, in fact, is not sand. It's ground quartz crystal, and so it appears to be sand, but it's literally quartz crystal. So you're walking on this really this bed, which is alive. It's alive.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's an incredible place.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel pretty blessed to be in that area. Well, everyone, Christo is with us today, and if you've seen the announcement and you've seen the webinar page, you know that Christo is going to be talking about using intuitive faculties to access the wisdom of the ancients. And Christo is also going to be taking your calls live. So if you are on the phone, star two to raise your hand, and that'll give you the opportunity to ask Christo a question. If you're on the webinar page, then put your question in the webinar box along with your name and your location, and we'll get to as many as we can within the time frame. And really, Christo is going to be asking or answering your questions around, you know, what's in your way. So if you have any feelings that there is a particular goal that you have, maybe to become a healer, or maybe to opening a healing practice, or maybe to make more money and experience more abundance or love in your life, then ask Christo. So this is a great opportunity. And then also, Christo is going to be taking everyone through a beautiful process that he'll explain to us later, a guided introspective meditation. So we've got a great call lined up for you today. And again, Christo, welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients. It's the first time you're on the show, and I know I'm personally thrilled, and I'm pretty sure that everyone here in the community is thrilled to have you as well. So again, one last time before we get started, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, really. I am very deeply appreciative and thankful to be here myself with you. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, you know, for those who maybe haven't heard you perhaps on other shows or who haven't followed you, and maybe this is the first time that they're hearing you, I know you certainly have a large following, and many of them are possibly even here on the show today listening to you. I'm sure they are. But if you wouldn't mind, in your own words, just share with us a little bit about your intuition, your journey, and so maybe so some others in the audience can relate to hear a little bit of how your awakening or your lightning rod occurred, where you finally or you realized that you had intuitive gifts.
Yeah, you know, it's for me, it's a really long journey. You know, going way back to my earliest memories of having an interest in the intuition or clairvoyance or the occult in general, actually took place in childhood. And I know that I'm 44, and I know that there are people who are in my age bracket who've seen like Johnny Quest. And do you remember? I don't remember what the Indian fellow's name was. Raji, maybe. But even when I was watching those sorts of cartoons, you know, I would be inspired when I would see like a Swami who was able to read somebody's mind. You know, that seeing something like that struck a chord very deep within me, that I wanted to develop those sorts of abilities myself. And you know, there were a couple other experiences too. For instance, and this does actually bring us to an experience that I had in my early adulthood. But if you remember the movie, have you ever seen The Dark Crystal?
I have not personally, no.
You have not. So I'm a big movie fan. Even as a kid, I like television and movies. And in the television and movies that I watched, I would see these brief glimpses of people using paranormal abilities. And I remember whenever I saw those things, I remember wanting to do those things myself, particularly to be able to help people. Now, apart from those sorts of experiences, when I was roughly age 16, I had an out-of-body experience that sort of shook me more deeply. In fact, I think it shook me awake in some way. And it set me on a path of trying to understand what had happened during that out-of-body experience. And from that point in time, I began to research all the books that I could find that might help me understand what it was that I experienced. So I went to my local library. I checked out every book I could find on the strange and paranormal, Edgar Casey, some theosophical books, and really started to immerse myself into the world of spirituality. You know, even as a young person of around the age of 16, I wouldn't do things partially. I've never done things partially. I've literally, the things that I've done, I've thrown myself into them wholly. So from the age of 16 to, I think, the age of roughly 20, I immersed myself in the study of the superphysical realm. And eventually I wanted to be able to see the things that I read about, and I wanted to see them firsthand. So every book that I read indicated that to gain clairvoyance, you have to meditate. So eventually, and I think this is roughly 1998, I actually started practicing meditation. I undertook the practice of meditation at that point in time specifically with the intention of developing my intuition, developing clairvoyance, clairaudience, all of those clairs. And roughly, 7-9 years later, my intuition actually opened spontaneously. In fact, when it opened, I didn't actually know what I was experiencing, because the way that my intuition opened, and I think that there's a lot of people who have this experience who are especially claircognizant. You know, my claircognizant faculty opened, which basically gives a person the ability to spontaneously know incredibly detailed facts or information about people, places, situations. So I didn't quite understand how I was able to know the things that I was able to know about the people who I was in contact with at the time. I, in fact, was really mystified by the entire experience, because I didn't know what was happening, except for the fact that I would know deeply personal facts about the people who came to see me. You know, I was actually, at the time my intuition opened, I was teaching meditation in a little, you call them a wellness center.
Right.
And so I was teaching meditation one time a week, and the people who came to see me and sit with me for meditation instruction, I would know, after 10 or 15 minutes of meditating with them, I would know incredibly detailed and personal facts about them that I felt compelled to share with them. And that's basically an overview of how my intuitive faculty began to open.
Mm. Thanks for sharing that. So for everyone listening to the call, Christo, I heard you say that it took you about 7 or 8 years until your clairs really opened up. So that really points to a fairly disciplined lifestyle. And I'm sure meditation was a big part of that, which you mentioned. What other factors do you think are important, really, for everyone listening to also be considering or even implementing as rituals or as disciplines in their own spiritual path, so that their clairs, whatever clairs they are, have a greater, are able to open up to a greater degree?
You know, for me, it was the practice of meditation, obviously, is what spontaneously resulted in the development of my intuition. And you're right, it was an incredibly disciplined process. You know, I joke with people at this point and tell them, you know, if you want to become clairvoyant or intuitive, that if you follow this recipe, I can assure you that you'll get there. All you need is 3 to 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, at a minimum, over the course of 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically what my life looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I at the point in time, you know, between 1998, 2007, I would say that the average period of time that I spent in meditation during a day was between 1.5 and 2 hours. And these were really practicing different forms of meditation that I was experimenting with as I learned what meditation meant to me and how to use it effectively. So, you know, but now since I have actually gone through the process of having my intuition open, followed by the opening of my ability to see clairvoyantly, I have a different approach to self-development. And that is, you know, when a person comes to me at this point, I'm able to look through their energy field, and I'm able to see what their dominant intuitional faculty is. I'm also able to look at them and tell what the blocks are to the further development and or use of their dominant intuitive faculty. So, you know, rather than undertaking, you know, meditation practices for their overall development, but what I would do actually is I would hone in on the area that they have already cultivated largely unconsciously or through their life process, and have them work with that particular intuitive faculty and bringing that into a state of what I would call conscious functioning.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And feel free
absolutely.
To ask any questions because, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask this question because as we're talking about intuition, some people might be thinking, well, that's a lot of hard work. And so what I wanted you to do, Christo, is put this all in context. Tell us why it's so important for someone who is seeking to expand consciousness and awareness to develop intuition.
You know, it is I think that I can best describe why by sharing my own personal experience. And that is, you know, from the age of 16 to the age of roughly 32, when my intuition opened, I had read hundreds of books. And I had actually read really good books on the human energy field. And so I thought that I had accumulated a usable and significant store of knowledge through the books that I had read. Once my clairvoyant faculties opened, everything that I thought that I had learned was basically useless because it was a limitation or a version of somebody else's reality that they had engaged and documented, or there's a lot of false information out there. So my ability to see, which happened in 2009, really led to me having to rewrite everything that I thought that I knew. So a firsthand perspective of what I call the superphysical planes of matter and God incarnating through them is a lot different than I think that we have been led to believe. So, you know, for us to really have access to the wisdom of the ages or the wisdom of the ancients, we can't rely on books. We can't rely on secondhand information. We have to be able to see these things for ourselves. But because, seeing the truth anew will, I think, create a new personal and even, what is the word I'm looking for, where it can't be challenged. It's sort of a new personal paradigm of how consciousness really does work and how God really works and how the wisdom of the ages and the ancients, how it's been handed down in various forms, is really just a glimpse into a vast, largely a vast unknown. Is that helpful?
It is helpful. So if you could share with us some of the differences between intuition and some of the other clairs, or maybe some of the similarities. So I'm just going to leave that question open to you, the difference or the differentiation between intuition and some of the clairs, because to some people, intuition might mean, when someone walks up to me, I get a feeling around, is it for the greater good to work with this person, or is it maybe I need to behave in a certain way, or intuition might be something around, oh, I need to go ahead and call my mother because something's going on. Maybe you could provide a little bit more color and context to, you know, what I've just mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's actually one of the best questions that anybody has asked me. You know, the word intuition, I think, at this point in time, is used as a blanket term that essentially refers to all of the clairs. People use the word intuition to refer to clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience, clairaudience. And so, you know, we're sort of in the same place with the word intuition as we were with the word clairvoyance, say, 100 years ago. Because I think that about 100 years ago, the word clairvoyance was actually used to refer to, clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience, any sort of superphysical understanding that we could have was a form of clairvoyance, just like now anything that we, any information that we receive through any of the channels is referred to as the intuition. Now, I am one who generally strives for as much clarity as can possibly be generated. So, you know, intuition is not really a great word. So instead, what I would use is really, I would default to the words clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience, and clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience, and
clairaudience.
Clairaudience, yeah. And I would use those terms directly because what I've discovered over the course of time, by actually being able to see the human auric field, is that the development of certain chakras results in the development of certain psychic abilities. So I think everybody is aware at this point in time that the development of the brow chakra results in clairvoyance. And I think most people are also aware of the fact that when the crown chakra is developed, the person develops claircognizance, the ability to just know information spontaneously. You know, with the development of the solar plexus, and this is one that a lot of people currently have, especially because of their exposure to, I'm going to call it significantly emotional people in their childhood, basically forces the premature development of the solar plexus chakra itself, which results in clairsentience. You know, clairaudience is associated with the ear chakras. So I can look at a person's energy field, and for instance, this is the true story. I was talking with a woman, and she was asking me about her intuition. And I looked through her energy field, and you know, I said, well, what I see is that your ear chakras are actually pretty highly developed. And she said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, usually people who have, you know, significantly developed ear chakras or, you know, above normal development in their ear chakras, they actually have really keen hearing. And she said, oh, that's really interesting, because my children, when they were young, they would tell me that I had bionic hearing. You know, I could hear them from the other room what they were doing. And so, you know, looking at their field, you can look through their chakras and see which chakras they developed and know essentially what intuitive, if you want to call it an intuitive faculty, they have at their disposal that's most developed to use to gather information. For instance, the biggest problem that I see is that people come to me and they say, oh, I want to develop clairvoyance. And I'll look at their energy field and I'll say, well, that doesn't make sense for you to try to develop clairvoyance when you're actually, your temperament, the development of your chakras indicates that you're clairsentient.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know how everybody is feeling. I'm like, yeah. And so I compare it to, you know, having a perfectly functional car in your garage with the key in the ignition with a full tank of gas. And instead of driving that car, you want to go out and build another one from scratch in your driveway through ordering parts.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like the... Yeah, it is. And I think clairvoyance is the, you know, it's the rock star of all the clairs.
I do agree with you. That's true. It is sort of the one that's mostly sought after.
Yeah. But, and maybe, you know, maybe that's also, because people didn't understand the others.
I do think that there's some truth to that. You know, what I find is that people who have developed claircognizance, their biggest obstacle to overcome is learning to trust the information. I hear from most people, they say, oh, yeah, I do get information spontaneously, but I don't trust it because I don't know where I'm getting it. So I see people all the time who do have the, you know, who have developed the ability to receive information through claircognizance, but they don't trust it, so they don't rely on it. I've seen people who have developed clairsentience, but they're overwhelmed by the emotional data that's just flooding the earth plane at this time. And so they close down their solar plexus center to create blocks in it to reduce the amount of information that's coming through. Or they don't understand how really to use clairsentience in, say, a practice.
Yeah.
In fact, I love clairsentience. You know, what happens over the course of time as you practice, you develop the other clair abilities simultaneously. So at this point in time, you know, when I engage a person, I'm able to use claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairsentience, and clairaudience together to get what I call a comprehensive understanding of the person they come to me. So the way that I use clairsentience is that as I'm dialoguing with somebody, I will emotionally track them and see how they feel about the dialogue that we're having and the subject matter that arises. You know, if I'm talking with someone and I mention their father, well, I see your relationship with your father, and they say, oh, no, my relationship with my father was great. But yet, during the time that I've been emotionally tracking them, I can feel the sadness or grief around the relationship with Father. I can use that information to help them understand the information that I'm getting and to have them access some of the unconscious content that they may be carrying with them. So I do think that because people don't know how to harness their particular intuitive faculty, that they will overlook the value of it, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Seek something else out that seems more glamorous.
Yeah, and we see that, you know, I see that personally on the show. So many times people, for example, will write in saying, how can I trust the information I'm receiving? And so, you know, that's probably a whole show in itself, Christo, is going through what you mentioned, is if people are overwhelmed by the data, for example, that you mentioned,
right,
or maybe they don't know how to trust or how to trust their the information that's coming through or trust the source it's coming from. Would you be able to, in this time that we have now, without going into too much detail, just give some guidance to people who might fall into one of those categories?
Sure. You know, I think that, you know, people ask me this question quite frequently. You know, how do you learn to trust your intuition? And my general response is that you have to practice. And people will ask me, well, can I practice alone? And the answer is that you cannot practice alone. You have to practice with somebody that you can enter into dialogue with. You know, the biggest problem, the biggest obstacle that we have to overcome is not getting feedback. If we don't get feedback from somebody about the intuitive information that we're receiving, we can't ever grow confident in the information that we are receiving. So typically the first thing that you have to do if you really want to harness your intuition is that you have to work with somebody that can answer your questions, your insights. When I tap into your field, I feel this feeling. Or when I sit with you, one of the things that comes into my mind that I know is this. One of the things that I'm seeing, right? I'm seeing your auric field. I'm seeing this quality here or this structure here. Does that resonate with you? That way, we can have the feedback that we need to begin to trust what we are intuiting.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that really speaks to a much greater issue that we're all finding ourselves in spiritual community, is that we all gather online and we have these amazing shows and discussions and dialogues and exchanges and beautiful energy that we play in. And, you know, but then we go our separate ways. And so often we're in a vacuum. And I see this time and time and time again where people feel so alone, you know. So that's another conversation. But I'm putting it into the space because the divine, we're putting into the space with the divine right now to, you know, orchestrate solutions for us. Go ahead.
I think that that's an interesting observation. And I do think that there's a certain amount of truth to that. You know, from my perspective, what happens is that, you know, I have years of studies in psychology as well. And then working with people over the course of 12 years and looking at their auric field and dialoguing with them, you know, I'm working directly with their psyche. What I've noticed is that a lot of New Agers, a lot of people in the spiritual community, have been traumatized through their own family relationships, and they have developed, as a consequence of those relationships, a sense of isolation
mm-hmm.
that they then carry with them into the world and project into their other relationships. So even though we do have these temporary connections, what takes over is the childhood experiences and the feelings that we experienced that sort of move us back into the position of isolation. So, you know, I think that becoming conscious of that could be helpful to us on our journey, that we are connecting into it in a group differently than what we connected into our family, our original family group. So, you know, recognizing how we ourselves are repeating the patterns of disconnectedness and not allowing that to make choices for us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, another question that's coming through, Christo, that I feel the community is asking right now, is how does developing our various forms of intuition help us to get closer to a God in any form that we see it or him or her, the divine intelligence? How does it help us to really anchor in that connection with Source?
I think this is a really beautiful question. You know, in the course of my own development, my ability to see, to hear, to know things, and to feel other people has certainly made me aware, you know, more deeply aware of the, what I'm going to call the overarching journey of spirit through embodiment. So, you know, let me give you a couple examples. You know, if a person is clairvoyant, they're able to look beyond the shell of the physical body, and they're actually able to see what we would term that person's soul. And they're able to see not only the growth and development, but they're also able to see the impediments that that person or that soul has come in with. That's where, you know, looking at that soul and having the power of clairsentience, you begin to feel what it's like to struggle through that body, to struggle through those obstacles. And then through claircognizance, you begin to know what that person or what that soul needs to heal and grow and evolve. And then through, say, the power of clairaudience, you would be able to enter into, say, dialogue with spirit and to listen to what spirit is communicating to you in terms of being able to act on that soul's behalf. You know, these are all just brief glimpses or vignettes into how each of these abilities might be employed in those circumstances to really identify the light of God and to understand how it grows and evolves through matter and how it can be assisted on its journey.
That was beautiful. That was wonderful. So everyone, that was 32 minutes into the call. I want everyone to go back and hear that. Just feel into that. Feel, you know, how does your heart feel when you go back and listen to what Christo just said? For me personally, I just had this beautiful vibration and feeling of love and compassion that washed right over me because truth just came through right there. And I know personally I could feel it, and I'm sure that many, many others could feel it, Christo. That was beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, 32 minutes into the show, that was just the divine speaking right through you. Thank you so much. Oh, that was really beautiful.
Yeah. You're welcome. You know, what has happened on my own spiritual journey is that, you know, I have become myself incredibly compassionate. You know, and I don't know that that's really a personality trait that I was born with, because I think that I also have very high standards and I'm very demanding of myself. But yet, when you're able to look at somebody essentially inside and to look at their pains and their suffering and the obstacles that oftentimes have been put there by or through their relationships with other people, that you begin to feel a deep and abiding compassion for them because they themselves didn't generate the obstacles that they are faced with in this lifetime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yeah, well, we've got other things that we want to chat about, but I'm really guided right now to go to the phones and engage with the community. There's hands up. People want to ask you questions. I think it's a wonderful way to let spirit really flow through you and speak to the whole group as well as obviously the person who has their hand up. So everyone, start to, if you'd like the chance to speak with Christo. And again, you can ask Christo about any blocks that you have. So, for example, what is in the way of your goal? And, you know, the question might be answered. There might be something else that you meant to hear. So just be open to whatever spirit is going to share with you tonight. And, of course, if you're on the webinar page, then put your name in along with your question, and we'll get to some of those as well. So let's go to the phones first, and let's go to Edmonton, Alberta. Edmonton, Alberta, the last four digits of your phone number are 952. You're going to be live, so just come on and tell us who you are.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Hello.
Wonderful. Thank you. My question is for you, Christoph. I'm just curious on what my blocks are. Like, you know, I've been finding it very hard over the past few years to be able to do anything. Like, years ago it seemed easier. Now things seem to be that much harder. And, you know, with the influx of energies and stuff coming in, you would think things would be getting easier. But it's the opposite. So can you tell me, is there some kind of block that I'm facing at this moment, or what's happening?
So could you remind me of your first name?
Yes. Well, my first name is Harvey.
Harvey. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So, yeah, just so I know how to address you.
Okay.
So, Harvey, what happens when a person asks me a question like that? I'm open to looking at their entire field, and usually what happens is that some aspect of your field is brought to my attention.
Okay.
And so there is a rather significant belief. So to help you understand, a belief basically shows up in the auric field as a type of a tumor.
Okay.
So you could think of the psyche as being filled with different forms of thought.
Mm-hmm.
A passing thought leaves a passing form. Whereas a thought that is held constantly in consciousness creates a permanent form.
Okay.
So there's a large permanent form in the area of your root chakra, which addresses your feelings about humanity. And give me just one moment so I can look at this more closely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to call this belief number one. The belief is essentially that humanity is a lost cause. Do you resonate with this?
Yeah, to some degree, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So to the degree that it resonates, what happens is that to believe that humanity is a lost cause basically destroys your motivation.
Okay.
Can you make that connection in consciousness? So if it is true that humanity is a lost cause and that you don't really want to be involved in the lost cause, then it sort of destroys your motivation to do anything because there's no point in doing it because humanity is a lost cause.
Oh, okay.
Great. See, now this is it. This is so Ian understands what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt a lot of sadness come up inside of you. Did you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Okay. So now I'm tracking you emotionally. Tell me what that sadness was. Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, you know, I always figured that I was here for a reason. Either, you know, God had a plan for me, and I'm here to do it, and I just don't know what the heck I'm doing. And, you know, it is. I usually don't listen to the news or the radio or nothing like that because it's just depressing. You hear about people getting killed or war happening here and stuff like that, and I just thought, oh, you know, this is ridiculous. What's wrong with people? You know, like this is
right.
Getting to the point. It's crazy. You
well,
know?
So
and
what
it,
happens again is, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But you get it because now I hear a shift in your speech. I see a shift in your energy field.
Mm-hmm.
This happens, you know, Jung called it, I'm having a hard time remembering. Basically, I call it speaking from the complex.
Okay.
You know, when people get activated and they speak in a different way or in a heightened way or in an agitated way,
mm-hmm.
they're speaking from a complex of energy. So when you were talking about the news and humanity being crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you are speaking from that complex.
Okay.
Again, you know, what happens is that if you don't believe that you can express yourself through the medium of humanity because it's a lost cause,
mm-hmm.
then essentially you wouldn't try. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so this is the biggest obstacle that I see in your field to the expression of yourself, is overcoming the understanding of the belief. I call it an assumption. So overcoming the assumption that humanity is a lost cause. See, I look at humanity and understand that it's a developmental stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's kind of like walking into a kindergarten class and saying, wow, everybody here is just effed up. right?
Right.
There's
right,
no
right.
hope for anybody here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. It's a misunderstanding, right? That these kids are going through a stage of egoic development that results in kind of chaos, right?
Right, right.
But that doesn't mean that in another 2 to 3 years, or maybe in another 2 or 3 millennia, that this phase will be outgrown.
Okay.
And this is where clairvoyance for me has come in handy, because I can look at this and say, ah, I see. This is simply a developmental stage, because I can look at it with my very own eyes.
Uh-huh.
So no one has to convince me that it's true, because I can see it for myself.
Right.
Okay. But I want you to meditate on this idea that it is a developmental stage, and the analogy of walking into the kindergarten class and saying, wow, this is just chaos, it's insane, it's not able to be healed.
Right, okay.
Okay, because that's the sort of assessment that you're making based upon the limited information that you have access to.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, so this is what's holding me. So this is what's holding me back from accomplishing. I know there's something there. Before I used to be able to, do card readings and all this stuff, and I've kind of shut it off, and different things were happening, and now there's nothing. Just things seem to be just at a standstill, and I'm just thought, oh, geez, this is really odd.
Well, think about it this way. Is there any, if humanity is a lost cause, is there any reason to be able to get information?
Oh, I guess not.
Right. It doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't, no. Right, right, right. I guess I got to change that programming.
Mm.
For sure.
Yeah, well,
because I think it's creating that block to receive information. I mean, I've seen this before in other people in slightly different ways where, if they don't believe that the outcome can be changed, then why bother intuiting information in the first place?
Uh-huh.
See, I believe that every second of every day, I call it basically a 3-millimeter shift.
Uh-huh.
If I can take one person who comes to me and I can shift their trajectory by 3 millimeters even, think about what that means right now in their life. It's kind of we'll call it inconsequential, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
But what happens in the next 5 years of their journey, right? How does that change their trajectory over time?
Oh, big time.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Big time. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible.
Multiply that by 7 billion people.
Exactly. Wow. Yes.
Yes, my friend. Well, Harvey, that's, I'm afraid, all the time we have with the 101 for Christo tonight with you, my friend. But
that's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Harvey,
much love.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here. Okay.
Take care, guys.
Bye now.
You too.
All right. I know the callers, it goes a little longer with the callers, but that's wonderful information. And, that's for everyone. That really is for everyone. Thank you so much, Christo, for that beautiful, beautiful time and the reading that you shared there. Let's go. Yeah, let's do another, someone else in the phone. Let's go to Westchester, New York, and the last 4 digits of your phone number are 8470. So come on, you're live, and tell us your name.
Thank you. My name's Joanne, and I intuited that you would pick on me, so thank you.
Well, I telepathically read that you needed to be picked on. All right, sweet soul, go ahead.
Thank you. So my question is twofold. I'm not attached to having any particular clair, although I was told at one point I was very claircognizant. I mm-hmm. haven't really done a lot to develop that, but I do find when I have a dream and somebody's in my dream at night that I know, if I call them the next day, it's more of, then I find out, oh, this person was just to the doctor and had a diagnosis of cancer, or, and not that that's coming up in the dream, just the person's coming to me. So I've taken that as a message that if somebody comes to me in a dream, it means they need my prayers or whatever light and healing I could send to them. But I guess what I was looking for was verification of what the clair that I should focus on would be, and possibly what am I doing that's blocking it.
I think that's a great question. So there's a couple things that I see in your field. You know, when I look at a person's auric field, I'm trying to answer the question about their dominant intuitional faculty. Again, I'm looking at the crown chakra, the solar plexus, the ear chakras, and the brow chakra. When I look at you, there are basically two out of the four that are functional. The first one is the crown chakra, which is related to claircognizance. The second one is the solar plexus, which is related to clairsentience. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the size of your solar plexus center actually is considerably developed over your crown chakra, which would mean that you are an emotional type. Do you resonate with that?
Yes, very much.
Okay. Now, there are conditions here, though. The first condition related to your solar plexus center is that your solar plexus center basically is in a what I'm going to call a rigid condition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we technically want our chakras to be in a relatively fluid state or condition. So your solar plexus chakra is kind of rigid. When I look at this more closely, it's a condition that I see with people who tend to hold a what I call an unflinchingly positive attitude. Okay. She's right. When people laugh, this is great. This used to happen all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, what's funny? Because I didn't say anything that was funny. But what I've noticed is that when I say things that are highly accurate, people will tend to laugh.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Is this accurate that you have an unflinchingly positive attitude?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So this, believe it or not, in terms of using your intuition, especially your solar plexus chakra and the ability to receive information through that chakra, this is a limitation. To hold an unflinchingly positive attitude does not allow your solar plexus center to respond to a spectrum of emotional vibration. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of that fact that under these conditions, that your crown chakra becomes your dominant intuitional faculty. Okay? So if I look at your crown chakra actually is quite spindly. Now imagine a cone that's turned upside down, so the small end is down, and then imagine taking that cone and thinning out the length of it. Okay, that's kind of what your crown chakra looks like. I generally see this condition. In fact, I think that there's some bitterness in the area of your crown chakra that people may judge or criticize your beliefs and your perspective. Does that resonate with you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what that means is that you don't have, I'm going to call it spiritual freedom. So this also, you know, this belief, I don't have the ability to express myself freely in the context of these relationships, causes your crown chakra to narrow and to not function as clearly or smoothly as it can, okay? But it's still, I'm going to call it, you know, a level of greater functionality than your solar plexus center because of holding that in a rigid condition. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm looking through your energy field, and I believe that you're fascinated by the information that I've shared with you.
Yes.
Tell me what you're experiencing.
Well, physically a lot of heat in the going up and down my spine right now. And when you're talking, I'm trying very hard to visualize what you're saying and to,
okay.
to see that within my field.
Yeah, well, you know, having the chakras also open and functional and able to respond to what I'm going to call the full spectrum of vibrations is really what the goal is, right? Imagine an eye, you know, right now as it is, we only see a very limited bandwidth out of the spectrum of light, right? Imagine now reducing that further, down to something to more like one-tenth of what we normally perceive through our eye. This is essentially what happens when you hold an unwavering or unflinching positive attitude. Like you've cut out 90% of the information that's available. So if you intend to use your solar plexus center.
That's totally brand new information.
Okay. But does it resonate with you? Do you connect with it? Does it seem clear?
It's the whole system paradigm.
Oh, yes. See, that's what I mean by, you know, I was talking with Ian about actually seeing the human energy field, that I had to rewrite all of the paradigms that I thought that I understood. I had to throw them out the window because seeing the human energy field directly, it's like seeing the world for the first time with new flora and fauna. Yeah. Can you talk to me a moment about, I mean, do you feel a sense of resentment that you can't express your spirituality?
Not really in terms of my
How would you define it? Okay, but, tell me about that because of my family.
So in terms of my husband, I can. He's on a spiritual path as well. My children are. So my immediate family, I can. But then I do have a sister who's very dogmatic within religion, and then in the field that I work in, you know, I feel that I have to hold back. I'm a speech pathologist, so it's all about communication. So, but it's not something I'm able to communicate. Yeah.
Great, right there. You use the perfect words. I have to hold back, and that's exactly what your crown chakra is doing. Energetically, psychically, in you holding back, it reduces the footprint of your crown chakra and also reduces your ability to receive information through it.
Okay.
Do we have a wrap up here, Krista, for for Joanne?
I think I can see her field. I think that she gets the information that I've shared with her. Do you feel like you get it?
Yes, I feel complete and I appreciate all the time. Thank you so much.
All right, Joanne, thanks for calling in. Okay, much love.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, beautiful. Thank you. Let's go to the web, and there'll be no interaction here, Krista. So maybe what we can do is we can keep them fairly short and then be of service to more people. So maybe just a very quick answer and then move on to the next, and we can do a handful. Sound good?
Sure. We can give it a shot.
Great. Okay, this is Lynn from Madisonville. Hi, Krista. Do you see any blocks in my field?
Let me take a look, okay? The major blockage that I see here is that she feels compelled to have to take care of other people. You know, and my answer to that is this, that you can't take care of yourself and take care of other people simultaneously. You know, if Lynn is one person and there are five people who are placing demands on her, she can't possibly serve these people and also serve the growth and development of her own soul.
Thank you. Rio from Fort Lauderdale. Rio from Fort Lauderdale. What is blocking me?
Let me take a look. Overall, on the right-hand side of the energy field, there's a belief that spans, the length almost of the whole auric field. We're going to call this belief number one. And belief number one is essentially, I am exhausted from trying. Okay. I think that this is the person who has tried to be successful. By basically exhausting themselves. And, you know, I don't, you know, whenever I see something like this, I try to get at the root of it. You know, what are you trying to defend against? What are you trying to overcome through your understanding of success? Because what normally happens is a person will exhaust themselves in trying to overcome some childhood trauma or injury. And because those injuries can't really be overcome through working, it puts us in a state of exhaustion in order to attempt to overcome them. So I would say, what are you really trying to achieve and why? What in your childhood are you responding to?
Okay, thank you. This is Tia from New Brunswick in Canada, and Tia is asking, hi, Christo, could you tell me what my dominant intuitive faculties are?
I'll take a look. I'm just taking notes as we're talking. So, Tia, New Brunswick, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just looking. You know, she has a very similar condition as to Joanne. Again, a nicely developed solar plexus chakra. The problem is that it's in a rigid state and it's not able to respond because she also holds a unwavering positive attitude. All right. Looking at this, her crown chakra is the most significantly developed in her field and functional. So what I mean by that is that, like her emotional states, she's put what I call restrictions on it. I'm restricting my solar plexus from responding to vibrations of outside of positiveness, right? But there aren't any restrictions placed on her crown chakra. So I would say that her dominant intuitional faculty is claircognizance.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, let me give you a break from readings for a while. Christo, thank you so much. I know that tuning in, there's a certain amount of energy that goes into that. So what I'd love to do, though, is share what you have brought the wisdom community as an offer. So give people a sense of how they can work more deeply with you. And in order to do that, let me just share with everyone on the call. Everyone, if you are on the webinar page, we're going to have Christo share his offer with us right now. Click on the orange special offer button underneath Christo's photograph, so the orange offer button under his photograph. And if you're not on the webinar page and you'd like to follow along, then you would type in wotashow.com/Christo, which is CRISTO and the number 8. So everything's lowercase, wotashow.com/Christo, CRISTO, and the number 8. Sorry about that. Okay, so you'll be looking at a page that says Christo's special offer. So Christo, you've brought 3 packages to the community today. Could you tell us what's included in each of them?
The first one, package 1, is the Learn to Read the Human Energy Field weekend workshop. And basically it's a workshop where I help people understand, you know, how to use their intuitive faculties to be able to access information through their intuitive faculties. So this is actually one of my favorite classes to teach, you know, to help other people move forward in developing and harnessing their own intuition. So this is personally one of my favorite classes to teach.
Beautiful. So this is a 2-day class, and people
it is a 2-day class.
would attend remotely.
Yes, it is. It's a webinar based class. It's, you know, you get to basically, you'll receive links, you get to see and interact with me. There's whiteboards that I get to draw through. It's live and interactive. But yes, it is conducted through ClickWebinar.
Yeah, beautiful. So it's live, which is really important to know, everyone. It's live and then interactive. So you'll be with Christo for 2 full days, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. What's the time zone?
That would be Eastern time.
Eastern time. Okay, so we'll make a note of that. Eastern time. And then what about if people step away? Is this being recorded?
It is, yes. I generally record these programs, and I give people access to them as well after the program has ended. So all of the information is there.
Okay. Is there, you know, let's say, for example, that, you know, we've got people in the community with varying degrees of intuition. Some are just, you know, hiding behind the truth and not accepting they're stepping into their intuition. Some feel that they have highly developed, and others may be completely new to intuition. Mm-hmm. Would this be a class for anyone? Would you be able to help people read the energy, the human energy field, regardless of their state of intuition, their development, so to speak?
You know, here's my take on this. Everyone on this planet that I've ever looked at has developed at least one of their intuitive faculties to a degree of significant functioning. They just don't understand how to harness it. You know, this class, I think, helps. I mean, I've been told, because I've had novice, those who are at a novice stage, and those who are advanced come into the same space, and they have all learned and grown through that process. I think because my own level of development is quite advanced, that the information that I teach and how I teach the information, everyone there seems to be able to learn from it. So
wonderful.
I see usually there are people from, I mean, it's really been incredible to me to watch what happens in that space. I've seen people with very little background or understanding through the practicums that are incorporated into the weekend Learn to Read the Human Energy Field class, surprise themselves by how quickly they can access information and how clear it is. So there are practicums that are built directly into the class to help people have a real hands-on experience.
Yeah, wonderful. I'm just reading some of this now. Engaging the auric field of volunteer co-participants. So,
yes, everybody there who wants to can volunteer to be a practicum subject. And generally, we spend time, and people can ask specific questions of their co-attendees. You know, somebody may say, you know, I want to know, you know, since I'm the practicum subject, I would like to know what is stopping me from finding a relationship. And then you have, you know, say 15 eyes on that person focused on this one particular subject, basically generating information and sharing it with this person to help them heal. Mm. I find that space incredibly transformative in and of itself. I mean, it's really powerful. Oftentimes,
yeah.
I myself will volunteer to be a practicum subject at some point, just because the information that all of these people can access is so extremely transformative.
Yeah, yeah. So just a little bit of context here for everyone. So it doesn't mean that everyone's going to be able to see visually other people's auras, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So maybe
we're attempting to do is,
So
the class is really about presenting my understanding based upon my 10 to 12 years of experience actually being able to see the human energy field, how the chakras work, how they function, how to harness the information, how to focus down, passively receive information, and how to actively receive information as well. Because I use both. For instance, sometimes when I'm working with a person, I'll simply back out of their field, and I'll allow the information that's in that person's auric field just to sort of fall into my auric field like light on a wall. And when light falls on a wall, there are patterns and shapes that sort of emerge. And so that's one way of receiving information, how people understand that as a possible means of gathering information. And then, so I call that receptive intuitive faculties, and then helping them understand what I call the directed intuitive faculties. Being able to take your dominant intuitive faculty and essentially be able to point it at somebody to look for specific types of information, right? Because to work with a person, you have to be able to essentially do both, to move through these states fluidly. So not only do you need to know what the chakras are, how they function, how to gather information from them, but you also have to learn how to understand how information falls into consciousness. So the class is really detailed. I mean, I teach through drawing a lot of diagrams. There are some videos that I show that help people understand how the chakras work. I mean, it's really the most comprehensive class that I myself have seen on the subject.
Mm. Beautiful. So you also, I see, issue a certification or certificate of completion, rather, upon completion of the class.
Yeah, I think that because I have I do this for a couple of reasons. You know, I think that it's important for people who go through the class to have, you know, some indication or that they have gone through it. You know, I've become more recognized in the work that I'm doing, that for somebody to spend, you know, 10 hours with me out of a weekend developing and honing their abilities is significant. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to actually create different levels of, you know, intuitive development workshops. So that way, as people grow into their intuition and understand how to use it, they can be taught how to use it in even more refined ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, beautiful. Wonderful, wonderful class. Everyone, so that's offered as option one. And then option two, or package two, would be separate. So these are not cumulative, everyone. So these are all independent. So if you did want to, for example, do the workshop and then package two, then you would actually make separate purchases. I just wanted to make that clear. But so package two is the Unconditional Love Meditation Webinar Tour de Force. So share with us what that is, Christo.
Yeah, the Unconditional Love Meditation Webinar is a class that I developed maybe about 2 months ago. I saw it in meditation. I received it as a type of download. And I was really excited about it because at the time that I was in meditation, I thought that the potential for this class to really transform people's lives was just out of this world. And so I put together my first offering, and, you know, people who attended the class really fell in love with it. And this is something that I have taught, you know, I've done maybe a couple of classes where there have been a weekly class, a weekly webinar. Mm-hmm. And the feedback that I've received from this class has been astounding. People have told me that they just feel radically transformed by the Unconditional Love Meditation webinar. They've told me that they have experienced miracles in their lives and incredible shifts in consciousness through it. So what I saw in meditation, or what I was given, has really proven to be true. And in further meditative or reflective states, I saw basically a month-long class. And so it's up to a daily experience of the Unconditional Love Meditation webinar, where people can come in 7 p.m. every day and sit with everyone else who's in attendance and perform the Unconditional Love Meditation. I organize this as a way, I believe, of really transforming at a soul level the consciousness of those who come into that space, mm-hmm. as well as those who we touch through radiating the vibration of unconditional love, too. So, you know, the tour de force part is that this class has historically only been offered on a weekly basis.
Okay.
To do it up to, you know, the whole month of December is kind of a challenge and also a call for transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we look deeper into the class and how I also was inspired to practice to create it, is I'm a big fan of, I think it's the Muslim practices of meditation where they meditate up to 5 times a day on God. And so I thought, how much would my life change if I at least spent, you know, this hour each day in the state of deep contemplation of unconditional love for humanity? And so that's how the Tour de Force webinar was born.
Beautiful, beautiful. And everyone's on the collective, so the grid is getting lit up. There's so much power when everyone gathers together. So I can just really see and feel how much good is going to come out of that, not just on an individual level, but on a more global scale, just by virtue of everyone gathering together in that circle. Lovely, lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a couple of options. So you can pick if you'd like to do 4 Tuesdays and the dates are there, or you'd like to do a full week, or you'd like to do all 31 days, so the entire month of December. And there's 3 options for you. So, you know, whatever level you'd like to go in at, it's available to you. And then, Christo, there's also a package 3, which is a 6-week webinar series. Tell us about that as well.
The 6-week webinar series is a webinar series in that allows me to share different aspects of the human auric field that I have been able to directly study through the development of clairvoyance. So I think it was in 2012, one of my students and colleagues came to me and he said, "Do you mind if I write down your teachings?" At that point in time, I was traveling and teaching quite a lot on the human energy field and the discoveries that I personally have made. And so he, again, when he asked me this, I ultimately said yes. And so we essentially collaborated and wrote the book, The Evolution of the Human Energy Field and Humanity's Ultimate Destiny. This book, again, is a record of the discoveries that I have made pertaining to the human energy field and related phenomena. So the 6-week class is kind of an overview of the sections of the book. So on a weekly basis, I'll pick one aspect of the human energy field that is described or elaborated on in this book, and I will share it with those who are in attendance. And they'll also have a copy of the book in PDF form that they can go through either prior to the class or during the class to be able to, you know, guide and direct, you know, how I share the webinar with people.
Mm-hmm.
So they can also, they can ask questions. It's an interactive space. I always encourage people to ask questions. And it's really driven, you know, this webinar is essentially driven to help inform people of the different aspects of the auric field that they may not be aware of because they've not yet been documented, or they may not yet know what these structures do.
Would you say this is more theoretical versus the package 1, which is more practical?
Well, so the package 1 is, I would call it educational. I'm trying to find the right word. So package 1 is really about teaching people how to access and use their intuitive faculty. Okay, so the package 3, the 6-week or 6-part series on the human energy field, is more informational. But people can take that information, and technically, they could begin to learn how to access those structures themselves, to incorporate them in their own readings with other people.
Okay, so if I was, one of my roles here is to help people really make sense. Obviously, people are going to feel into which is right for them, but just to compare and contrast the package one, which is the webinar series, versus the weekend workshop, maybe provide a little bit more guidance for people so that they can help, so they can self-identify which one might be better for them.
Sure. I mean, I think that the Learn to Read the Human Energy Field weekend workshop is really about helping people to identify and understand how to use their intuitive faculties. That's the whole point of that workshop, is to really help people become familiar with their own intuitive faculties and to provide them a space where they can practice their, using consciously their intuition. Whereas the six-week or six-section course is really there to inform people of certain aspects of the human energy field. I would say that people who have a real interest in energy anatomy would have an interest in the six-week course.
Okay.
And I do think, that people who have read the book have said that it basically is an advanced energy anatomy. It's a book on advanced energy anatomy.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. Very, very kind of you to bring these incredible offers to the Wisdom community. It's also going to be lovely for people to gather together if they decide to do the meditation as well, all together collectively during December, which, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, just think of a tree. It's really, really a beautiful time to go within, right? So it's a perfect time. And of course, I know we have a global audience, and everyone in Australia is going, "Where's my analogy for the summertime?" So let me think. It's not coming to me right now. But regardless of whether you're in the sun or you're in the cold, it's always a beautiful time to go within, and especially when you actually have a program where that almost forces you to, so to speak, to go with it, to go within. I find that when I do programs like this with others, and I know that the cause, so to speak, is bigger than me. I know I'm definitely going to benefit, but we all gather together in love, and we gather together to raise our vibration. It really helps to keep that spiritual discipline, which I think by now we all know is actually quite an important aspect of our own ascension process, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, very important.
And I think that, and that's one of the reasons that I offered it in the month of December, because I do think that, there's this idea of the birth of the Christ. And so it's really about having our own spirituality awaken and to make a space for our spirituality and our connection to God, sort of above and before everything else in our lives. And so I think of it as a place to grow spiritually in connection with God or Source or whatever, term these people, other people use. So I'm very eager to share that space with people.
Yeah, well, lovely. Well, thank you so much again, Christopher, for bringing that to the community. Much, much appreciated.
Thank you.
So there's still a guided meditation that's coming up. So I think, and maybe you feel the same way, Christo, I get the feeling that that's a meditation that we probably want to, bathe in the energy, in that energy for a while. So my thinking was, or my feeling was, that we would have you finish with that, and then we'd kind of just let everyone go their own ways without, interjecting more conversation after that.
Sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that quite frequently because I think that it gives people an opportunity to really sit in the space of reflection and activation, and then to speak or to engage them afterward. I see it as interrupting their process, taking them out of the vibration of source or expanded consciousness. So I definitely like to bring it to what I call a soft close.
Yeah, completely agree. So before we do that, Christo, I just wanted to thank you again for being on the show and sharing with us your amazing wisdom and your insights and helping us to understand the various clairs and the connection between intuition and God, really. And I also wanted to give you this opportunity before you did the meditation to maybe share with us anything that's come to mind, anything that you feel guided to share with the community, almost really as a wrap up for the conversation we've just had.
Let me sit with that for just a moment. This is what's coming to me. You know, I think one of the greatest obstacles that we have to confront and overcome is the belief that our life circumstances or what seems to be our limitations is our karma. Okay. You know, I meet a lot of people who come to me and they make these generalized statements like, you know, this just, you know, not being in a relationship just must be my karma. Not being able to get my healing practice off the ground just is my karma. And I think that, you know, people need to realize that what they oftentimes hold as their karma is really only a belief that they hold in their consciousness at some level. So I'm going to encourage people to get rid of the thought that their limiting and negative circumstances are their karma, because it creates a resignation to the limitations and the negative aspects of the life that they think that they have to endure because somehow God has simply inflicted it upon their lives and that it is their future. You know, I'm going to encourage everybody to look at their own consciousness and to challenge the assumption that they made that whatever aspect of their life that they have to suffer or endure really is their karma. Because I think that really we're put here to grow and evolve, and that I sincerely believe that everything that we imagine, right, some of us are given these incredible ideas, these incredible inspirations through our contact with the mind of God that somehow infuses our own consciousness with ideas of God. So our consciousness seems to act as like a radio receiver for the content that's projected from the divine mind. And we have these incredible visions of what our roles are in the collective consciousness. But oftentimes we don't fulfill those roles or those missions because we believe that the karma that stops us from doing it or the negative beliefs or the negative situations that we've gone through are our karma. But I would say that if we've been given a vision like that, if we've been given a goal or an objective of a divine nature, I'm going to say that that goal, that vision is your karma. And that if you're having difficulty achieving whatever has been set in front of you to do, to encourage you to look in your unconscious, you know, to ask yourself the question, why am I stumbling here, right? Show me the reason that I'm not able to manifest this at this time, because I know it is my karma to achieve it, right? It changes how we perceive our ability to move into the spaces of transformation that we imagine, rather than becoming stuck in the inability to achieve them because of beliefs that we carry in our consciousness.
Mm. Thank you. Much to contemplate. Thank you so much. All right, everyone. We're going to say our goodbyes now, and then Christo is going to take us through a beautiful guided meditation. So I wanted to thank all you shining souls for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Namaste. And we thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Sun, the Ancient Ones, all the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service. Thank you for bringing us all together and supporting us in this special, special time. Thank you so much. All right, Christo, we'll let you take us through.
So I'm just simply opening right now to the consciousness of those who are gathered together in space. And I myself am going to just sit and tune my consciousness to the collective and see what emerges in my consciousness as a means of assisting you. So this is how I'd like to deliver this meditation to you today. You know, I do sincerely believe that each one of us here has been given or provided a what I call an image of self, of your divine identity. Okay. So what I would like everyone to do is to find the divine image of self that you harbor in your consciousness, that you have seen, felt, experienced, heard, intuited. And I want you to hold that image of yourself in your consciousness. Just come with me into the space. Find the image of your ideal soul self as server, healer, teacher, leader. And I want you to sit with that image of yourself in your consciousness. And let's all sit together in this space. I can feel everyone tune into that space. And keep your consciousness aligned with that image. As I engage the group consciousness of those who are currently in process of holding this image of their self and their consciousness, I feel joy from the group, a happiness at coming in contact or back in contact with this understanding of self. Now, as you hold this image of self in consciousness, I want you to begin to simultaneously examine your life, examine your emotions, examine your mind, and make a note of anything that stands in opposition to your ideal self. To make a note of anything that is in vibrational disharmony with this understanding, this knowledge of who you really are. as you go through this process, look at your thoughts, examine the thoughts that are in the way of achieving this goal. And then begin to examine the emotional states that are in opposition to this goal. And then look through your physical life and begin to see those aspects of your life that are in opposition to the expression of the self that you see. Lastly, in this space, I want you to, again, just come back in contact with the vision of your ideal self. And I want you to ask your consciousness, what is one thing that I can do to take a giant leap toward expressing this ideal self that I see? I would encourage everyone who is sitting in this meditation to continue to hold the vibration, the understanding, the vision of their higher self, their ideal self, as they continue to go through the week, and allow the vibration of that to continue to radiate through their consciousness and through their daily psychological, emotional, and physical experience.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Namaste. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.